It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is underwritten by the Knights of Columbus, Council 6923 and Fishers, and is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. If you have any comments or suggestions for this program, please contact Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's B-R-I-G-I-D at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or call 317-870-8400. Now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, hello. Great to be with you.
And you know, Bridget, it has been a little while since we've reminded people about cars.
Oh, that's true.
And as we like to say, there's three kinds of cars. Those you love, those you don't love, and those that are better off donated to Catholic Radio. That's the ones we want to talk about. And I'm always amazed at how many people have those. When we started doing car donations, oh, probably 10 years ago now, I thought, well, we'll try it. No one's going to ever donate a car, but we'll try it. And actually, we get sometimes two or three cars a month.
That's awesome.
And they don't have to run. They don't have to look pretty. We're happy to tow them away. We'll send a tow truck out to your house and out behind the barn, and we'll tow it in for you. All you need to do is give us a call, or you can actually start the process on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just look along the right-hand side there. You'll see a Donate Your Car button. Click there, and you'll be on your way. It's a simple, easy process. If you've got the keys and you've got the title, we'll have the car very soon.
Well, yeah, and also, if you happen to be on the Facebook platform, we're not telling you where to be on social media or to be on social media, but if you are, Catholic Radio Indy does have an official Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page, and you can connect with us there, like us, like the page, and you'll get all of our social media pushes there. So we'd like to see you over there.
And many of our listeners here will have been at our dinner, which was about a month ago, and we had a lot of fun there. We had a great meal, a lot of fellowship, and a couple of auctions. We had a silent auction, and we had a live auction that did really, really well.
Yeah, we did. Well, as you know, God created us on purpose for a purpose, and that means we all have a vocation. And our guest today in studio is going to talk about his vocation story. Our guest is newly ordained priest, Father Andrew Thornton. He is the associate pastor at Holy Spirit Church in Geist and St. John Vianney Church in Fishers. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks, Bridget.
Well, you know, I get a lot of emails. We get a lot of guest suggestions, and I notice every once in a while that people have a little tagline or maybe a scripture or a quote that goes with their tagline. And I noticed, Father Thornton, you had a really cool one. Would you share that with us?
Sure.
Really just kind of was really awesome.
Well, I'm young enough that I try to be the priest that's kind of a hipster, that's kind of trendy, right? You know, and so along with that, you know, faith is really important to me, and so I tried to find a saint that was really obscure, mm-hmm. you know, that I was that I could have as my own, and it just so happened that I found this guy, and one of the other beloved priests of the diocese, that it's a brother priest of mine, he also has a devotion to him. His name is Father Christian DiCarlo, but I've really followed a lot of his stuff, and so every time I sign off with my email, I have this quotation that reads, "Real faith consists causes every impossibility to disappear. It makes a nonsense of those words, anxiety, danger, and fear. It makes us walk through life with calm peace and deep joy, like a child holding its mother's hand." And that's from Blessed Charles de Foucault. He hasn't been canonized quite yet, but he's right there in line with it. They announced that they are going to canonize him, so he's Saint-elect Charles de Foucault, I like to say. So, he's great devotion, really involved, especially in some vocations in Africa. And what's really important about him to me is that he spent his life trying to engage others, and he didn't have a single convert. Nobody converted. It was all for naught. He didn't get to see any of it. The once he died, the community exploded. But I have a devotion to him just because I am obsessed with the fruit of my labor and always wanting to see, you know, how many converts I made, or, you know, how, what the fruit of what I did was. And I think that his mission is central to what God calls a lot of us to do, which is, you know, plant seeds sometimes, and sometimes there's going to be somebody else that's going to reap. And so, yeah, that's really helpful for me.
Yeah, he might be a new good blessed or soon to be saint for me as well, because I'm this exact same way. I like to see results, and you know, we don't always get to see them.
Yeah,
I mentioned our dinner in auction coming in because Father was part of one of the as a live auction we. Auctioned off some priests. Well, not exactly.
Now, some other dioceses might want them, you know, to get some good money for that. But
no, we auctioned off the services of some priests. We had from the priests at St. Louis de Montfort, Father Hahn and Father Aaron. We had a dinner that they're going to be making. But from St. John Vianney and Holy Spirit, we had a wine and cheese tasting that really is going to be fun, and it involves two priests as well, our guest and his associate, and one of you is a wine expert, one of you is a musician.
Well, yeah, it's Father Cole Daly that he's been trained in actually blues guitar. He is awesome.
A priest singing blues.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He rips it up. He's really awesome. He's a really close friend of mine, and we just happen to be signed at the same place now that I've been assigned at the pastorate of St. John Vianney and Holy Spirit at Geist. But yeah, I'm the sommelier. I don't have any accreditations, but I like to say that I'm about as close as possible to it. It's a really beautiful thing. I think unlike, you know, cocktails or, you know, cooking or beer, especially wine is such an interesting thing to me because you can't manipulate it. You can't zero in the ingredients. A lot of times what's in the bottle of wine is exactly how God preferred it to be created. You know, there are so many factors that are outside of human control, you know, rain, you know, whether the wind came out of the west or the south southwest, or, you know,
sure,
a number of other factors that are really mostly in God's hands. It's so much more fun to observe that kind of artistry that isn't 100% human. So I've really fallen in love with it.
I am liking you more and more. We're going to have some wine together and
sounds talk, like a
have,
plan.
Have some holy talk.
I'm not opposed to a glass of wine every now and then. In fact, I had some with dinner last night. But my wine criteria is very simple. The more it tastes like grape juice, the better I like it. The better I like it. And to someone with a sophisticated palate, as they call it, that's probably not so good. But
it's not my preference, but to each their own.
That's hilarious. Well, we're talking with Father Andrew Thornton. He is associate pastor at Holy Spirit Church and St. John Vianney Church there at Fishers. And we're going to get to your vocation story here. So first, in your words, how would you describe what a vocation is, maybe in the general sense, and then maybe a religious or priestly vocation and how that might be different?
Sure. Well, I think that probably a lot of your parishioners know that actually the word vocation comes from the Latin verb vocare, which basically just means to call.
Okay.
So it is, a vocation is ultimately a calling. And so that's what's really important in the distinction in our culture that's kind of tempting to conflate the two is between vocation and occupation. You know, so a vocation is ultimately a calling. And so that's what's interesting about priesthood or a lot of other stations in life. And in fact, you know, Catholic Radio Indy, I'm sure, is both of these as well. I'm sure that it's a calling for many of you. And then also, it's also an occupation, you know. So what it comes down to, etymologically speaking, is that vocation is a call. An occupation is a place that you hold, like an office that you kind of hold. You know, like think about, like if it were an assembly line, you know, there is some guy that puts a lug nut on, you know, the upper left quadrant of the passenger side rear tire, right? You know, that's his occupation. He occupies that office. He occupies that job, right? So what it comes down to is that sometimes they're synonymous, but I think that when it becomes the two things that we talk about a lot, philosophically speaking, it's the distinction between being and doing. And us as Catholics really like to emphasize the fact that there is a primacy. We have an emphasis on being over doing. And I would say that vocation heads in that direction toward being, because we're called by a creator who brought us into existence, that created us to be rather than do. And that's our station in life. And it makes us fuller, more happy, more whole when we can respond to God's calling rather than just be a cog in a machine, ultimately. So sometimes they're the same, and that's a good thing. But yeah, vocation is a calling, and yeah, to each should respond to that and apply it to their occupation as well.
Well, you have been a priest now for a very short time. You're basically right off the seminary boat.
Yes, ma'am.
Or right off the ordination line.
Yeah.
So you were ordained when? This past summer?
So it was the day before Corpus Christi. Yeah, June 5th, 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a really great day, especially to have all of the festivities following. Most time priests do their first mass and all the festivities and everything like that the day after. So that would have been the day, the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is really fitting for a newly ordained priest.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so awesome. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up Catholic? And was this something, you always wanted to be a priest? Or, you know, some people say that, some people say, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Fishers, Indiana, so it's really odd. This almost never happens that a newly ordained priest is assigned to home.
Yeah.
But that's because of my upbringing. So I am from Fishers. I'm on the west side, which is further. I'm assigned on the east side, closer to the Geist area now as a priest, but I didn't grow up Catholic. I'm a convert to Catholicism. So the way that I like to say it is that was the big thing was when I was very young, I don't know what got into me. I asked my parents why we didn't go to church, and they didn't have a good enough answer, so that we started going.
Wow.
Right? Which is pretty incredible. I mean, I still don't know absolutely the grace of God, you know, and I reflect over it, you know, what so happened if the church that was nearby was a Catholic church. I don't know. Things might have been totally different. But so we started attending a church at the corner of 131st and Allisonville. They're close to Connor Prairie. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in that church for most of my life. And the cool thing was home was close enough that it was like, oh gosh, I mean, like 2.5 blocks or something. So when I was a kid and my parents were still hanging out and drinking coffee and socializing with everybody, and I was ready to go, then I was allowed to drive the car home. So church was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it was really fun. So, and then I rose and started continuing on. And that's the difference between Catholicism and Protestantism is that, so I went off to college at Ball State University. And so the service that's going to happen on a Sunday is not going to be essentially the exact same, unlike Catholicism, right? You know, you go anywhere, you can go out of the country, and the Mass is going to be the same, maybe a different language, but mostly the same. And so you have to shop around, and you know, you have to figure out all of these big questions of, you know, what's the right church to go to? Am I a Methodist? Am I a Baptist? Am I a Lutheran? Am I any number of different things? And as a college student, I was pretty hard-headed and really asked those big questions. And when I didn't get a good enough answer, it made me kind of upset. And the beautiful thing about the church is that she said, okay, well, this is how we can answer all of these big questions, rather than the shrugs that I was getting from a lot of the Protestantism that I was in. The Catholics said, okay, look, there are these old dudes that sat in cells and they prayed all day, every day, and they wrote some stuff down. And we believe that, you know, that's the fullness of truth that the church has obtained. And so who am I to not respond to those guys and have them answer my questions for me? So what it came down to is that it was about efficiency. You know, I got good answers, and the church didn't necessarily promise that it wasn't going to sting or hurt on occasion. But she answered with with honesty, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, people are really looking for authenticity, and it sounded like you found it there in the church. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Father Andrew Thornton about his journey to the priesthood. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a knight and be the difference. Learn more at KOFC.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest today in studio, Father Andrew Thornton. He is a brand new priest, just out the gate a couple months, and we're talking about his vocation story, but Jim had a question regarding kind of some new terminology that we're hearing in our diocese.
Relatively new in the area here, I'm sure, in the church. They've existed for probably 2,000 years. But just recently, we've been starting to hear terms. As I grew up, every church was a parish. Now there are pastorates as opposed to parishes. And originally, churches had priests who were either the pastor or the associate pastor, and now we have things like parochial vicars. And so could you explain parochial vicars and pastorates?
Sure. Parochial vicars are actually just one of my professors at the seminary. He used to say that anybody who prefers the Latin term rather than the English term should be taxed. And I like that a lot. Just because priests and everybody else, they have we like to make words that are super complicated and it's unnecessary. So that's one example of it. A parochial vicar is just an associate pastor. So vicar means, you know, a right-hand man, you know, basically speaking. So there's a vicar general of every diocese. So he's, you know, the bishop's extension, you know, generally speaking. There is a vicar for clergy, a vicar for vocations sometimes, a vocations director, you know. There's vicars for reign, which is also the term for dean. Vicar or parochial vicar just means that I am the pastor's helper, basically, is what it comes down to. Unfortunately, chose to use the parochial vicar term just to make myself sound intelligent, but it wasn't unnecessary. It wasn't necessary. So,
and the term pastorate.
Pastorate. Yeah. So, within the Uniting in Heart program that was rolled out recently in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, so we have a lot of times that there are multiple pastorates that are united under one roof and have a specific set of priests that serve all of those parishes within a pastorate. So I'm within one of those pastorates, for example, that I know quite well, is I'm a parochial vicar for an associate pastor, for Holy Spirit at Geist and St. John Vianney. So there is one pastor, you know, he's the guy that's really in charge. And then there are two associate pastors. That's Father Cole Daly and myself, Father Andrew Thornton, that are helping with that. So within Uniting in Heart, I want to really emphasize that, there's a lot of times that people, especially in the diocese, that hear, okay, Uniting in Heart was rolled out and it was all about just changing the priests around a heck of a lot. And, you know, we have different priests and we also have to deal with other parishes. Whether, you know, that's your perception or not, I do really want to emphasize that there's a lot more there. And trust me, from firsthand experience, I've seen it. This diocese, the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, is doing a lot of positive things in terms of evangelization, in terms of programs that are really going to get to you. And it's all within that header of, uniting in heart. So keep looking, keep reading the Catholic Moment. you know, I know that sometimes it can be kind of frustrating just because change is difficult. But what it comes down to is that uniting in heart is a really positive thing. And I really trust that the bishop is doing a lot of good things in that. So keep your eyes wide open and your arms outstretched to receive God's grace through that program.
Yeah, and it just my perception is that, you know, rather than the old paradigm of people just come to us, it's the other paradigm where we need to go to them, and that's like kind of the heart of uniting in heart to kind of I know that's really whittled down, but that's from my perspective, that's
so
kind of
true.
What I,
you know, I mean,
it.
I wish the church could go back to the glory that it was in the 40s and 50s, but things have changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that sometimes the perception is that we're going to try to do the exact same things that we had in the past. And, you know, I'm so proud of my diocese for saying, okay, we're just going to rip off the Band-Aid. And we're gonna pull the trigger and try to do something substantive. And I'm convinced that something is happening through that whole process. So it's wonderful.
That's really awesome. Well, I want to ask you, when did you sense that you were being called to be a Catholic priest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, ever since I was a little kid.
In eight minutes or something like that.
I'll try to do it quick. So when I was a little kid, I mean,
did you play Mass even though you didn't know you were playing Mass?
Well, yeah. But see, that's the thing. I think that I had a sense of the priesthood, but I didn't really understand the term priest until, you know, much later. I would say that the biggest way of explaining it is that that's something that's in me, is that whenever there is a cause for trauma or, you know, somebody's hurt or somebody needs help, you know, there's a lot of times that people will run away from that or, you know, keep their distance and try to just kind of... It's just in me that I constantly run toward that just mm-hmm. because it's in me to love and be with people and, you know, the rest of it, you know, to heck with it, you know, because it's just like that's what I was designed to do, you mm-hmm. know. And so if I can explain that briefly, it's just that I think that priesthood is the best way of articulating that and making that a vocation, is that, you know, there. I'm convinced that I was created to be set aside, to be the person that doesn't have anything that I have to have a responsibility to besides other people, you know, making their life better. You know, I'm really convinced that, you know, I was taught from a young age that whatever it is, you always leave something that you come into better than the way you found it. And I've really been interested in doing that with other people. And so that's the sincerest way of explaining, you know, how I got my call, is that, you know, it's kind of always been in me. And then finally I came into the Catholic Church and I said, oh, it's called priesthood. So.
Well, wow. We need you more than ever. So glad to hear that, you know, that's your kind of call within the call. You know, that's a great analogy of how you explain that. I want to ask you, in terms of people that might be discerning a vocation to the priesthood or maybe even to marriage, what's the discernment process like in terms of asking, you know, really determining what you should do with your life?
Sure. We had a joke, and I hope that this is an okay bad example.
we'll roll with it.
Yeah, and when I was at Ball State University, we had a joke that within Catholicism there, the rule was first date marriage. Right, you know, so if there was somebody that, you know, you potentially wanted to be involved with romantically or otherwise, then you might as well get married, because, you know, that's the way that it's going to go. And I think that that's not the way to go about any of it, really. Is it, what it comes down to is that primarily you should just be docile to hear God's call. And second than that, it's prudence, 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 prudence. You know, if it makes sense with your life and it seems like there are no obstacles in the way, I would say that all of the, you know, I feel at peace with this, or, you know, any number of emotional types of things. I mean, whether or not I am frustrated or angry in a day can depend on a number of different factors. How well I slept last night, what I ate in the past 48 hours, you know, who knows? And so don't rely on that. What it comes down to is prudence and God's call. And I think that it's hard to go wrong if you adhere to that.
Well, how do you describe prudence then? We've got a couple minutes.
Okay, Prudence.
In a couple nutshells.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and Prudence is kind of the big governor when it comes to the cardinal virtues out of anything. But it's
mind, logic.
No. It's more like we're in the Midwest. You know, I can explain it this way. Your Delta hand of cards. Mm-hmm. You know, Prudence is playing your cards the best way that you can. You know, you come into a situation and say, okay, I'm going to assess everything. You know, this is the best way of going forward, you know.
All right. So if someone was discerning a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, what's the first step? What do they do?
I would say really easily and briefly is that prayer is at the center of everything. And be honest with yourself. You know, I think that there's too often that we see prayer as, people approach me and they say, Father, how do I pray? And I say that it's so much more important that you pray rather than how you pray. It's so much more important. 1 hour a week, and maybe even you want to crank that up a little bit, but 1 hour a week before the Blessed Sacrament, I am convinced can change anybody's life. So it comes down to prayer. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your Lord and fall in love with him, and the rest will fall in line pretty easily. It's not rocket science.
Well, before we go, would you be so kind to give our listening audience a blessing?
Absolutely. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saints Peter, Saint Paul, Blessed Charles de Foucault, Saint John of the Cross, Saint Edith Stein, and Father Vincent Capodanno, may a spirit of love, of joy, of peace, of understanding, of knowledge, of tenacity, and of deep fulfillment come upon each listener. May all of God's children know that they are never truly alone, that they are always accompanied by a Father who loves them, for God's identity and priesthood, personhood is love and mercy itself. Thus, the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. What are you looking forward to most about being a priest as you get out the gate here and get rolling? Anything in particular that sticks out to you?
Yeah, never being on masstimes.org ever again.
All right, well, you heard it here, and you got a blessing, and hopefully we'll be hearing.
Well, that's an impossible. That's a great website. And they attempt to give the mass times of every church, Catholic church in the world, which is an impossible task because.
Well, yeah, no, I'm so glad for having masstimes.org, but yeah, it's going to be nice to be able to take Mass with me wherever I go, if that makes sense.
Well, thanks again. Our guest today has been Father Andrew Thornton, Associate Pastor at Holy Spirit Church in St. John Vianney in Fishers. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is underwritten by the Knights of Columbus, Council 6923 in Fishers, and is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. If you have comments or suggestions for guests or topics for this program, please email Brigid@CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's Brigid at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call 317-870-8400. This program is pre-recorded.